Scouting Combine. Energy Trip Central, WabiVikings.com, Paul Allen Fan. It's a Joe Nelson production on site. And Ryan Donaldson is guiding the great ship Love Covenant from outside of Minneapolis throughout the expansive Fan Radio Network, KFAN.com. And, of course, the flagship for everything fun, FM 100.3, The Fan. We have uncovered a local connection here in Indianapolis. He was a game-changing football player not too long ago for Totino Grace. We met him last year. He works in the front office with the St. Louis Rams. And just by happenstance, within the last year, I got the opportunity to meet his mother at Totino Grace High School when I was doing something for the Prep Zone in Fox Sports North and FoxSportsNorth.com. Tony Pastores is his name. And Tony, first of all, good to see you again.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
How are things? How old are you these days?
24.
You're 24 years old. What exactly do you do for the St. Louis Rams?
A little bit of everything. The title is I'm the senior assistant for the St. Louis Rams. The title is ambiguous for a reason.
Uh-huh.
It means I can do whatever our chief operating officer and executive vice president of football operations, Kevin Demoff, throws at me.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of everything. Mainly I work on the football ops side, player contracts, salary cap, things of that nature. Just learning from Kevin, so it's been a blast.
You're 24 years old with a really cool job like that. Obviously, with a bigger prize down the road, you know, if you cast your gaze. I'm not going to put any ages on it or anything, but what if you had your way, Tony, when you say you're 30, 35, 40, whatever, what would you want to do in the National Football League?
At that age, I just hope I'm still working in the National Football League. This business is a very cutthroat business, and you got to be on your game all the time. And so if I'm still in the NFL, I'll take that, but just hopefully keep advancing, keep learning, and hopefully have a Super Bowl ring or two.
Is your mom listening right now?
I'm sure everyone at Totino Grace is listening right
all
now.
Right.
I have no doubt.
Hello, Totino Grace. When you were, as you've described to me, Tony, a game-changing football player for Totino Grace, what position did you play and what'd you do?
When I was a sophomore, I played safety.
He's blushing, Wabi.
When I was a sophomore, I played safety. As a junior, I played quarterback. And as a senior, I think I played pretty much every position
right
on the field. So.
Did you ever run into Anthony LaPanta's hairpiece while you were there?
No, I did not.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I did not.
Okay, because he's on the staff now, and he's got kids playing there and everything. So,
yes.
You know, when I'm doing a FoxSportsNorth.com webcast, Anthony LaPanta has a big part in it. Comes in with the with the blue and gold of Totino Grace, and one of my dear friends, Chad Abbott's the offensive line coach for St. Thomas Academy.
Absolutely.
And I'm always supporting the cadets, and we have a nice little friendly rivalry there.
His hair is always perfect. That's all I know. Anthony's hair is always perfect.
Wabi, it's Tony Pastores, a fledgling capologist for the St. Louis Rams.
You know, Tony, the lockout diseased offseason last year at this time. Mm-hmm. Now we have a new CBA, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of different rules. The way they determine the franchise tag is different. The salary cap had to be adjusted, all that. For a guy in the front office and for guys in our front office, the Rob Brzezinskis, mm-hmm. was that a tough transition for you guys? Did you have to cram and really figure out those rules really quickly to do business now?
I think for me, I was in a kind of a unique position with it last year being my first season. You know, I wasn't married to the old CBA.
Yeah,
the guys that had done it for years and years were really tied in and dialed into a lot of the nuances of it. When the new CBA came out, like you mentioned, there's a lot of changes. And I think for me, that was a little easier to digest than some of the guys that have been around and seen a lot of things. And so it's, yeah, it. There are things that are different, yes, the tag and things like that. And it doesn't bother me as much as I'm sure it bothers some of the guys that have been in the trenches for years. So
it's interesting. Both you guys, Rams, and us at 2-3, a lot of talk about trading. If Robert Griffin III is available or who's going to take Matt Khalil, all that stuff. With the new CBA and the rookie wage scale specifically, and I'm not asking you to tip your hand, or we're not going to tip ours, but just in general.
They're right in front of us, man, and we were 3-13.
If you go back and look at trades in the top five, there just aren't a lot of them in draft history. But with the new rules, maybe not this year, but in subsequent years, do you think there'll be a little more trading? Will teams feel more comfortable doing it?
Yeah, I think with the new CBA and the rookie wage scale, you're going to see a little more activity in the draft in general. You're especially the top 10, you're not giving a king's ransom necessarily to get into the top five, you know, money wise, and so that allows some teams to get in there and do some things. As far as draft questions go in the Rams, Coach Fisher has instilled in our entire staff two acronyms. It's who and what. Who is we have options, and what is we have ample time. So any draft questions, you will either hear who or what.
Yeah.
So,
well, Mom told me that you were going to tell us what you were going to do. I mean, all of Totino Grace is listening right now. They're texting you. They're eBaying you. They're MySpacing you. They're tweeting you. They're Facebooking you. I mean, Tony, let's just be friend to friend here, okay? Let's pretend like nobody's listening. You're not in the front office for the Rams. I'm not working with the Vikings. Deal?
Sure.
Sam Bradford's a $50 million man. You don't know what's going to happen with Brandon Lloyd in free agency. Steven Jackson's a freaking stud. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a stud despite the losing and all that stuff. I mean, the team is tailor-made for Justin Blackmon, the wide receiver from Oklahoma State. Yeah. Danny Amendola coming back. You know, he catches 9 a game out of the slot. Super reliable guy.
Mm-hmm. He wouldn't have to travel very far. I mean, he's really close.
He wouldn't have to travel very far. Hey, do you mind pausing for a second?
Yeah, that's fine.
And then coming back and joining
us?
Wow, this is cool. Right on. Thank
Absolutely.
You. We're going to have head coach Jim Schwartz on here for a second, okay?
Sounds good.
Yeah. Joey, just, you know, I'm going to talk to Tony for a second. Just whenever Jim's ready, let's bring him on over here, okay? But I'm not done with the conversation. If you're okay, I don't want to monopolize your whole day, okay?
You're fine.
Jim, whenever you're ready, we're ready for you, man. It's on the fly. Yeah, appreciate it, Tony. Don't leave, okay?
Got it.
Right on, man. This is cool. Shortly after 11 o'clock. Okay. Happy to be joined now by Jim Schwartz, coach of the Detroit Lions. Jim, Paul Allen, I do play-by-play for the Minnesota Vikings.
Good to see you guys.
Mike Wapshaw, Vikings.com. You know what, man? I just really wanted to have you on for one reason, is just to champion the cause of Todd Downing to become assistant offensive coordinator. I've known him since he was a quarterback at Eden Prairie High School in Minnesota, where we hail from. And he tells me all the time he's an elite offensive mind, has all these great schemes and everything. So I just want to champion the cause of the great Todd Downing. Are you into it?
I didn't know Todd at all before I hired him. You know, Todd sort of came as a package deal with Scott Linehan.
Yeah.
When I hired coordinators, when I hired Gunther Cunningham and Scott Linehan, as a defense coordinator for a long time in the NFL, I knew how important a right-hand man was, and I wanted to give those guys the ability to have a right-hand man, and Scott was, you know, champion Todd.
Yeah.
So, you know, I knew his resume, but I had never met him and came in, and obviously he's got a great future. He's going to be head coach in the NFL. He's going to be an offense coordinator. He's going to be a good one. He could be a defensive coordinator. He could be a special teams coach. Todd's just a good coach. Has a good way around the players. And he's got a great future in the NFL.
I've called Vikings games since 2002, so I remember when Mike Tice gave Scott Linehan the opportunity out of Louisville. And then the Vikings went on the cheap, wouldn't pay Scott. He ends up going to Mr. Saban's staff and so on, ends up with you. And, you know, even though the Lions beat the Vikings a couple of times this year, you made the playoffs, and clearly things are on the fast track for Detroit Lions football. It's always fun to watch Scott's competitive arrogance. And I don't mean that arrogantly or flippantly, but I've always known Scott to be a very competitively arrogant guy in that he's just very good at what he does with the tight ends. It was an absolute drag. You lost job at best when you did, because what he would be able to do with him out of the backfield. And it must be a treat working with Scott and just the way he operates that offense.
Yeah, you know, he's used to the one thing about Scott is he knows how to use talent. And you go anywhere he's been in his career, and he's done a really good job of using talent. Going back to Randy Moss in Minnesota and straight through, you know, we've been able to acquire some talent and put those guys in place. But, you know, Scott doesn't like to lose. And there were a couple times this year we had some big leads. We had a big lead over Kansas City, 45-3, whatever it was, big lead over Denver.
Yeah.
And we're just trying to finish the game out. And, you know, the jerk of a head coach tells him you got to take these certain players out of the game.
Yeah.
And he's mad as a hornet. There's 4 minutes left in the game, and we're getting crushed running the ball or, you know, trying to hold on. And, you know, and you got to point out, hey, look, this game's won. The only thing that's important now is keeping these guys healthy in the last 4 minutes of the game when we're up 40 points and things like that. But, yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that drives coaches, competitiveness. You don't play the game, but your ability to – or your competitiveness. The players pick up on that also.
Wobby, it's Lions coach Jim Schwartz.
Coach, outstanding job since you've come on. changing the culture and creating a winning team. You guys had a great season this year. And the Vikings coming off 6-10 and now 3-13. Philosophically for the Vikings, and drawing on your experience, what are some of the two or three things that you wanted to instill in your team to turn things around and just change the culture?
I don't know. I think you just have to take the approach of having a good plan and sticking with it and having the resiliency to stick with it. There's going to be ups and downs over the course of a season. There's going to be ups and downs over the course of years. But if you can identify a good plan, you can put pieces in place to, you know, to sort of serve that plan, and you have the wherewithal to stick with it. It's very difficult to do. I mean, you know, with much scrutiny as there is in the NFL, it's very difficult to stick with a plan when you're not having, you know, the success that you want to have immediately. But if you can do those things, you'll be good over the long haul, and that's what we want to do. We want to be a good, consistent team over the long term, not just short term.
Keeping the quarterback healthy, obviously, was the biggest key to your success last year, in my estimation. Off what Matthew did last year, what can he do to become even better, maybe beginning next year?
You know, he really wasn't healthy this whole season. He dealt with a pretty severe high ankle, and he dealt with a broken index finger on his throwing hand that bothered him for about a month. So he was able to have the success that he had this year, persevering through some injuries. So I think that was an important thing for us. You know, you mentioned Javid Best a little bit earlier, you know, not having him. We lost Mikel LeShore, our second-round draft pick from University of Illinois, who was going to be a very, very good player in this league. You know, so there's still some steps we can take in the running game, the ability to sort of put games away by running the ball, particularly in the fourth quarter. You know, I think there's some steps that we can take. I mean, every player gets better as it goes along. Matt's still a young player.
Yeah.
He's completed 3 years in the NFL. He's gone through a lot of different things, the adversity of being injured, you know, throwing for 5,000 yards, taking a team to the playoffs for the first time in a decade. You forget that he's still 24 years old, and, you know, Tom Brady hadn't thrown a pass in the NFL before he was 24 years old.
Hey, last one for me, Jim. When we came to Ford Field and lost, Stephen Tulloch and you guys knocked Christian Ponder out of the game. Joe Webb came in, played beautifully, almost won the game at the end. What can you tell us from what you maybe saw of Christian Ponder leading up to that game, or what you know about him? What do you think of Vikings quarterback Christian Ponder?
Well, I remember watching him last year in the college draft and here at the combine and things like that. I think he's an outstanding young quarterback. He's very smart, has a good NFL skill set. I don't think we saw the best of him when we played him late in the year. He was coming off a pretty significant hip injury, which obviously affected him in that game. You know, and there's something to living through some of the experiences that young quarterbacks, you know, have to go through in this league. As you know, you can't get that experience unless you go through it. But you know, he'll be better in the long term because of, you know, dealing with some injuries and going through some adversity this year, not having all the immediate success. We had a hard time handling Joe Webb, for sure.
Little face mask at the end of the game we don't want to talk about, but that's okay.
Yeah, there were a couple plays before that.
Yeah, there might have been
a couple holding penalties that didn't get called. That maybe would have negated that that face mask. It wouldn't even come up.
Of course there was.
But he... you know,
Joe held it too long, too.
He was very, very difficult to handle in that game. We were trying everything we could. We were in a situation we were playing. We were depleted in the secondary. Mm-hmm. We were playing wide receivers, playing corner.
Yep.
You know, and there wasn't a whole lot we could do. Scheme it very frustrating to sit there and watch him. But he's always had a great athletic ability. Remember watching him at you know, the Senior Bowl, running around and doing those kind of things. And you know, he's still a young player too. I think that you know, there's still a lot of potential ahead of him.
Last one for me too. We've talked offensively about really versatile players, Brad Smith, Joe Webb, a guy that sometimes you don't know where to play him or how to use their skills. Defensively though, is it tough to evaluate some outside linebackers / defensive end hybrid guys? And are there more of those guys coming into the NFL with the proliferation of the 3-4 defense? Or is that kind of an overblown talker?
Yeah, I don't know that there's many teams in college football that play 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that they're coming in from 3-4 backgrounds. Everybody sort of find a way to fit those guys in.
Yeah.
You know, our defensive ends are generally 250 to 260 type range, which maybe some teams are 3-4 outside linebacker. You know, if you're a good player, if you can rush the passer, people are going to find a way to get you on the field. And, you know, whether it's a 3-4 outside linebacker, whether it's a situational pass rusher, where it's a starting defensive end, the key to this whole thing is finding players that fit your scheme, you know, sticking with that scheme so that you can have some continuity there. And, you know, if you can do that, then they're going to have success. But everybody has a way to find guys that can rush a passer.
Are people within the team joking about the Jim Harbaugh thing, or is it do you not talk about it or anything?
That happened so long ago, I can't even remember that.
On the outside, we thought it was hilarious. A couple of fired up guys and everything. You know, we were set to play the Bears that evening, and we got thrashed in the game. We're getting ready for the game and everything, and I caught it out of the side corner of my eye, and I'm like, "Are you kidding me? You never see anything like this." You know, then the guy with the Niners. It was just unbelievable.
Well, I'm glad you got some enjoyment out of it.
But it's behind you now, right? Does anybody joke about it here or anything?
Of course they don't. Yeah, it obviously it happened, and you know, anything it takes away from the players on the field isn't something that you want.
But you're fired up. Yeah. You were fired up, man. Hey, thank you very much.
All right, I appreciate it. Thanks, Coach.
Good luck to you guys. Okay.
All right,
and
thanks.
Todd Downing for president. Okay. Thanks, Jim. Jim Schwartz, coach of the Detroit Lions. Thank you very much. That was awesome. I appreciate it. Tony, come on back over here, man. We're not done with the old number two pick in the draft. Mom's still listening right now to Tino Grace.
I don't know. She may have.
I have my Tino Grace sources telling me that we may be on the public address system right now, like where they do the national anthem and announce that it's your choice between spaghetti or burritos for lunch. Tony Pastores, Tino Grace High School, front office St. Louis Rams, rejoins the show. We thank Jim Schwartz for joining us. Sorry we had to bump you right there, ma'am. Head coach, division rival, you know, the Jim Harbaugh thing. Yeah, we just we had to do it, man. Hopefully no hard feelings.
No hard feelings. Don't blame you at all.
So anyway, I mean, you got this $50 million investment, the good running back. Maybe I hope Brandon Lloyd comes back. I really do. Because, you know, you'd have Brandon Lloyd, Amendola in the slot. You're going to take Justin Blackmon.
Yeah, it's a good move.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, two of the last three drafts, you've used high picks on tackles, Saffold and Brown. So it has to be Justin Blackmon, doesn't it?
I think I'm not with the Rams for this whole thing, and you're not with the Vikings, but I would say both teams have a lot of options, and obviously if they're picking 2 and 3, yeah, have a lot of places to get better in, and so
right.
Both teams are going to need to evaluate the roster top to bottom and see what they feel is their biggest need.
You're ready.
And so
you're ready to become a general manager in the NFL, the way you answered that.
But
Mom is so proud of you right now, Tony Pastores.
It's called going to handling school. You've done it.
Yeah, you've done it. Well done. Yeah,
no, when I was brought to St. Louis, my boss said, I got you young enough where I can corrupt you and you don't have any bad habits. So he's ingraining it into me.
Tony Pastores from the front office of the St. Louis Rams. Were you at all, serious question here, when Mr. Spagnuolo relieved of his duties, coaching staff gone, new coach comes in. Is there any concern from like your standpoint, your position or anything that maybe somebody would have pulled the rug out from under your feet?
The whole staff swap and everything like that was obviously a tough transition. I think the world of Steve Spagnuolo and that entire coaching staff.
Yeah.
Great guys, all very good football coaches. I think the world of Billy Devaney, outstanding general manager. Great people, just unfortunate result. And you know, where I sat in the whole thing is, you know, I'm a little removed from it, from the direct football on the field.
Yep.
But, you know, like anyone else, it's hard to say goodbye to people like that that have been your world. And so it was tough, and it probably the worst day I've ever had at work.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah. Something kind of cool next season for you guys is playing in London, it looks like. You know, when it was, we weren't sure who was going to go, I kind of wanted to go. The Vikings were one team that might have been considered. Will you go to that, and are you looking forward to that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
We've already started the planning, and we are going to London. I can assure you of that. We will be in London to play the Patriots on the 28th of October.
Home game or road game?
We're in London to play the Patriots.
Okay. That's still being debated.
No, it'll be a home game for the St. Louis Rams,
okay.
And so we're looking forward to that. It's a great opportunity to expand the Rams globally and get Sam Bradford's name out there and get the city of St. Louis, which I think is the biggest thing, is get the city of St. Louis on a global stage, and hopefully at the end of the day the city reaps its benefits, and we're looking forward to it. I know we're in the planning stages, so we're trying to decide what day do we want to leave, and you're talking to teams that have been there and done that, and we have a nice little built-in advantage, or at least we feel it's a good thing for us. Our owner, Mr. Kroenke, owns the FC Arsenal over based in London, so we have some brothers and sisters over there that are going to help kind of guide us through London, and this is a good place. This is, you know, not ideal for you, and kind of help us. So we're looking forward to it.
Tony Pastores, Minnesotan, Totino Grace, front office, St. Louis Rams. Final question / point. When I came out to Totino Grace to kick field goals and punt, did your mom tell you that I was kicking butt from 35 yards and beyond?
I heard you lost to a girl.
Oh, no.
That's what
How
I was
come
told.
She told you that part?
That's all I was told, is you lost to the female strength coach, and it wasn't
a
close.
A rugby star, mind you. I don't know the girl's name, but she was a freaking ringer they brought out of nowhere. We had the Totino kicker. I took care of your varsity kicker, okay? I hit it from 35. Hey, Gil, any shot in 5 minutes? Gil Brandt, please, 5 minutes. Okay, thank you. So I took care of your kicker. 46 years old, three chins, one eyebrow. Caught him all off guard. Not wind-aided either. And your mom was over there rooting against me, by the way. Then they bring out this ringer, this strength and conditioning coach, this lady. I'm like, this is the easiest thing in the world. She's a rugby star who could make $1 million a year in Australia. Come on.
Yep, Sylvia is, I hear she's talented, and I heard it wasn't close. So that's the only reports I got at Totino after that one is Sylvia embarrassed Paul Allen. That's all I heard.
You got to know what fights to pick.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the moral of the story.
That's not the one I would pick.
Yeah. Tony, you're awesome, man. I appreciate you coming by again.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks
best of luck
us.
To you. Seriously speaking, best of luck to the Rams.
You.
Best of luck with the draft. Hey, you know what? You're probably trying to do the same thing we're trying to do from three, trade into mass picks and fix a bunch of things all over the place. If you're not, best of luck to you, man.
Thank you.
And I'm glad everything's working out well for you.
Appreciate it.
And seriously, let's continue to talk and text and everything. And thank you very much for coming on the radio
Absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to having you guys all down in St. Louis come the fall.
That's
so.
Right. We'll be there.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. We look forward to it.
Yep. All right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Tony Pastores from the front office of the St. Louis Rams. He's a Minnesotan. He was a game-changing safety for Totino Grace just a few years ago, and now he's a 24-year-old emerging star within the front office of the St. Louis Rams, and his mom's listening, as is all of Totino Grace. We're at the Combine, thanks to Max Ippon, in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium. It's the 2012 National Football League Scouting Combine. More after this. Scouting Combine, Indianapolis, Lucas Oil Stadium. A lot of great podcast ability, a lot of KFAN.com ability, Vikings.com with Mike Wobshaw joining us here. I'm Paul Allen. Again, we thank Max Ippon for sponsoring this trip for us. Jack Brewer and everybody with Max Ippon for stepping up. Jack might be on the radio with us tomorrow. Rumor has it he's going to be at the Combine. And we really, really appreciate the recency of the love delivered from Max Ippon and MaxIppon.net. So from a podcasting standpoint or a Combine show page standpoint or places to go at KFAN.com, we have a lot. We started the show with former Vikings head coach Brad Childress right out of the gate. And then after that, we had an interview with ESPN's Chris Mortensen. Paul Charchian joined us to get some run on the Combine, plus much more. An elongated conversation with Rick Spielman, general manager for the Minnesota Vikings, asked him specific questions about Matt Khalil, Morris Claiborne, Justin Blackmon, Quentin Coples, Chris Cook, and so on. Christian Ponder kind of got a feel there that Christian absolutely is the starting quarterback for the Vikings into the 2012 season. You can listen back to that, plus much more. Very happy to be joined earlier by Jim Schwartz, coach of the Detroit Lions. Tony Pastores, you just heard him, Totino kid, now in the front office with the St. Louis Rams. Leslie Frazier joins the show tomorrow, and joining it now is the producer, on-site producer Joe Nelson, for updates and more of what people can find at KFAN.com, and also something we have coming up shortly.
Yeah, thanks, PA. KFAN.com, your one-stop shop for all of your combine coverage is going to be on our Vikings blog page. I think our fans are familiar with where that is. KFAN.com, Vikings blog page. A John Fox soundbite on Eric Decker and how he's doing. We also had the conversation with I had with Chris Martin, which we'll play back here in a second on there, as well as just some
Who's Chris Martin?
Chris Martin's from the Big Ten Network. He's an analyst, former player in the Big Ten. He's a cornerback, and he can break it down. He's really smooth and eloquent, and I think you'll enjoy what he says in a second here. But also, I think we should hit on your show page, too, PA, our draft capsules. Matt Khalil's up right now. If you want to find out everything you need to know about Matt Khalil, what the scouts are saying, what your thoughts are on him, PA, and watch video on him, you can check him out. And a little bit later on today, AJ Mansour is going to post a new draft capsule on Oklahoma State wide receiver Justin Blackmon.
Wabi, some opening day 2012 NFL scouting combine highlights for you.
Well, I mean, it started out, and we get here, and we've been talking all morning about how cool this is. There's so much to do, so many people to talk to, so many things that are podcastable. Joe Nelson and V-Rod did a great job of getting us set up here in the media center, and It's really well organized, and I think the guests we've had have been outstanding. And, you know, one thing about the combine, if you go in right now and look inside the stadium, it's dark. There's no one on the field. Workouts haven't started yet, but it's still bustling here with information and news and speculation, and it's just a fun place to be because anyone who's anyone is here in the NFL, whether you listen to them or you read about them in the media or they're head coach of your team or a team that you follow. I mean, everybody is here. The information is unbelievable. Chris Mortensen right off the bat, I mean, it's been a great show.
Just a quick recap of the some highlights from the Rick Spielman interview.
Okay.
What jumped out at you? You know, because Rick, like a lot of general managers, he's not going to divulge the game plan. You can complain about the lack of open nature of those in a position like that all you want. They're not going to change. I mean, this is stuff where in this day and age of social media and everybody having to be first before the previous guy was first, you slip up one little way and it's at ProFootballTalk.com for everybody in the league to see. So Rick has gotten good at giving subtle hints as to the direction he's thinking. And I really felt that in the conversation, podcastable at KFAN.com, when he was talking about Christian Ponder. Did you kind of get the feel that, you know, he's not it would compromise the integrity of the team and the draft process for him to come out and say, Christian's our guy, game one, which means we are not selecting a quarterback at third overall. Now, that's what people want to hear. You're an idiot if you think anybody in this game would ever talk like that, because if they did, the owner of the team would have the right to come down and say, if you ever phrase something like that again and take away potential trading chips or bargaining avenues we have, you'll never work in that position for this team again. So they need to massage it in a certain way. I think Rick's gotten pretty good at that, but I definitely got the feel. Christian Ponder, 2012, game one, starting quarterback.
Yeah, and I think that's because Rick understands the need to be patient with a quarterback. Now, that's not to say that you could take a guy, a quarterback, and in the first season of his career, you can tell right away that he doesn't have it. That could happen. And I used Eli Manning as the example when we were talking to Rick because I've said it a million times, and it's based on a conversation that I did have with Rick earlier. I mean, Eli Manning didn't complete 60% of his passes till his fifth season. It was five complete seasons before, and 60% isn't even a good completion rate. It's very average, and it took Eli 5 years to get there.
Yeah.
He's a two-time Super Bowl MVP now, and that's just one example of you need to be patient with your quarterback. Now, you can have the opinion that he's not going to pan out, or you can have the opinion that he's going to be a future Hall of Famer. We don't know whether either one of those is right or wrong, but it's too early to know right now one way or the other, and I'm glad that Rick understands that because you need to be patient with quarterbacks. It's not very often when you draft a quarterback in the first round, he comes in and he's good right away. I mean, you got to be patient with him, and you got to put pieces in place around him.
So KFAN.com and some work Wabi's going to do later at Vikings.com, absolutely the only two destinations for on-site, second-to-none, combine-related coverage. Leslie Frazier joins the radio show tomorrow. And before we go to break, Once again, Joe Nelson had the opportunity to catch up with somebody from Big Ten Network earlier today. Joey, take it away.
Yeah, and what you'll hear is his thoughts. His name is Chris Martin from Big Ten Network, former Big Ten cornerback, very eloquent, like I said. You'll hear his thoughts on the comparisons between Riley Reiff, Matt Khalil, Riley Reiff, and Mike Adams, the big tackle from Ohio State. We're talking about the Iowa kid Reiff here, who was, funny enough, as a freshman, he was cited for public intoxication and ended up on a 20-minute chase on foot from the cops. So Mike Adams suspended 5 games. He's the public intoxicant running around the streets of Iowa City. So we'll get into some of that stuff. It's kind of fun, and we'll start with the quarterbacks. Let me get your thoughts on Russell Wilson and Kirk Cousins, two of the better quarterbacks in the Big Ten. What kind of NFL futures do you think they'll have?
Well, I'll start with Russell Wilson. I think he's probably a mid-round draft choice. When you look at it, he's athletic. He's good from the neck up. Very smart player. Doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He has the velocity and the accuracy to make all the throws. And he has the DNA to get out of trouble athletically. So I think some teams are going to look at him late. Cousins is a much different type quarterback. He's your prototypical drop-back passer, but a guy that can survey the field, has a strong arm. Again, another cerebral quarterback that's a strong leader. I think teams are looking at him in the third, fourth round range. He's as good as any kid I've ever talked to in terms of the leadership qualities. So I expect both of those guys to go and have productive careers.
You've been there, done that. I mean, what about those leadership qualities? How does that help a guy when they come out of college? They know how to be a leader. They step in day one. They're carrying pads for the players in the NFL. How does that help them actually, you know, progress faster than other players?
Well, they're at the trigger man spot. So, I mean, that's what you want as a quarterback. I mean, a lot of other guys can be leaders. But I think when it's the guy that steps in the huddle, he has to be able to command, have presence, because he's directing not only the offense but the entire team. And I have been in that role on the other side of the ball playing at the cornerback position. And I think it's just about swag. It's about attitude and how you approach things. People are always watching you both on and off the field. I think that's the good thing about Russell Wilson and Cousins also. They have great charisma, great character and integrity, and I think that's what's going to propel them in the NFL.
Let me ask you about the Iowa left tackle, Riley Reiff, and compare him to Mike Adams. I mean, Mike Adams had a great Senior Bowl week. He really picked up some steam, maybe pushed himself into the first round with some good workouts. What's the difference between the two players? I mean, is one a mauler? Is one a better pass protector? What's your take on both?
Good question. Riley Reiff is probably the highest rated Big Ten player. He's a guy 6 foot forever, over 300 pounds, but he can bend. He's athletic. I think the thing they'll want to see here is his movement, because he's a right tackle probably in the league, but I think he's athletic enough to play left tackle. But he has that feisty temperament. You know, he kind of wakes up in a bad mood, which is what you want for a guy protecting your quarterback. And I think Adams is starting to bubble up a little bit too. I mean, he's had a little bit of spotty play history, some off the field stuff at times, but athletically he's very gifted, very strong, a little bit of a road grader and a pounder inside, but he's a guy that has a bright future. A lot of people are saying he could go at the end of the first, but I think Matt Khalil out of USC is the highest rated tackle. Then I have Riley Reiff. I expect him to fly off the board early.
The Vikings pick at number 3, and that's what we're following back in Minneapolis. So, I mean, if you have Matt Khalil on the board, but you have a trade offer saying maybe go back down to 6 or 7 and Riley Reiff might be available at that point, what's the biggest difference between Khalil and Reiff? Is there a big difference at all?
I don't think there's a glaring difference. I would say most boards and experts do have Khalil rated higher. I think he has more natural footwork, a little bit better in his movement, and I think that'll be something. I mean, if you want a prototype left tackle with the speed that comes off the edge these days, you got to have guys that can get back and anchor and that are athletic enough to stave off those guys. And so it's a horse race, but both of those guys are talented players. They'll have Pro Bowl careers.
Marvin McNutt, NFL pro potential, your thoughts?
I like the player. He's rangy. You know, he's 6'4". He can go up and get it. He's kind of a guy that likes to play basketball. You'll see him on a lot of quick slants. They'll run him in the back of the end zone, in the red zone packages. He's got to run well. I think that was the knock on him in the All-Star game, is that he had trouble separating for cornerbacks. So you question whether he can do it consistently in the league. He's got to go not 4.3, but he's got to go high 4.4s, low 4.5 at worst case scenario to really get drafted in those mid rounds. But he's a guy kind of like Marcus Colston of the Saints. If he goes late, he could probably have a pretty stellar career. He's a smart guy, played quarterback, so he knows how quarterbacks are wired and how they think. I think if he works on his route detail, he could have a long career also.
So let's talk about the Golden Gophers for a second. Not a lot of NFL talent on that team. Jerry Kill might change things. We'll see. But Dejon McKnight, late pick, undrafted. What are your thoughts on him?
I like his game. He's a guy that has good top-end speed. You know, he's a playmaker, good run after the catch guy. When healthy, he made a lot of big plays. I think his game does transition, especially if he has return capabilities. He was a big-time player in the Big Ten, and I think he'll have a shot.
Good work by Joe Nelson with Big Ten Network analyst Chris Martin talking about Riley Reiff, Mike Adams, and some other individuals from the Big Ten who not only will be taking part in the scouting combine here at Lucas Oil Stadium, but certainly are on the radar of your favorite team, the Minnesota Vikings, in terms of the draft. Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com. I'm Paul Allen. Combine coverage provided by Maxit Pawn. Our final segment today after this.
Interviews, pictures, blogs, and more from the NFL Combine, available now on KFAN.com.
I can't wait until tomorrow, 'cause tomorrow might very well be too late. I can't wait until tomorrow, 'cause tomorrow could never come. I know it could end any minute, but I pray tomorrow comes.
A special thanks to Ryan Donaldson for coordinating the efforts of the Combine show today from Lucas Oil Stadium. Ryan back at the flagship. FM 100.3, The Fan, just outside of the Twin Cities. We appreciate your efforts with the Chris Mortensen interview and the Chris Martin interview and just coordinating everything. Great work, Ryan. Likewise for Joe Nelson here on site, running down Jim Schwartz. That was a coup de grace find. If you're doing a combine show, very well done. And Mike Wabshaw, also a weekly guest on the 9 to noon show during and outside of football season. And it's been a pleasure to get to know Wabi better on and off the microphone over the last year and change. We've become very dear friends, and follow his work at Vikings.com. A lot of KFAN.com love here, and rightfully so. This is the flagship for everything fun and the combine. But Vikings.com, what are you and Jordan and the rest of the VEN cast going to be working on?
Well, we're
going
to try and run down some players. I mean, Matt Khalil should be up here running around in the media center. Maybe Riley Reiff. This is the offensive lineman and the kicker and the punter's day to do media stuff. So when we're done here, we're going to try and run some of those guys down and get some videos for the website. I'll be blogging when we get done here also.
Mm-hmm.
So just updating the site, letting people know what's going on, kind of like what we're doing here.
You put together, and you've kind of touched on it a little bit during the course of the show today, about trading, and trading picks and everything, and just the frequency or maybe the lack thereof when it comes to teams with the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth pick making trades. And you know, I think it's pertinent, and I think it's a good way to close things.
All right,
because we hear the scenario so frequently.
Right.
And you know what? I mean, it may be antithetical to the way things have operated in the National Football League over the last X amount of years, whatever your sample size is. But, you know, the St. Louis Rams are not taking Robert Griffin III. They're just not.
Right.
So, I mean, I've had this standpoint and this angle for quite some time, where if I'm Mike Holmgren with the Cleveland Browns, if I'm Bruce Allen running the Washington Redskins, if I'm your guy running the Miami Dolphins, with all due respect to Tino Grace, Tony Pastores, and everybody in that front office, I eyeball them right down to the clock running down to 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and say, I'm not giving you that much compensation wise. I'll deal with the Vikings because I know you're not. There's zero chance you're taking Robert Griffin III. So I'm not trading with you unless you loosen up on this deal a little bit. They're not taking Robert Griffin III, man. I mean, they gave Sam Bradford $50 million. Mm-hmm. They ain't going to give RG3 20 a change. In a team that blacks out games, is a legitimate candidate to move to Los Angeles. You know, and by the way, if you want to take the stadium and the relocation scheme and extrapolate it and develop tentacles and everything, the Vikings are going to get a stadium deal. I believe the Vikings will get a stadium deal either with the Metrodome redone or something right next to it. You know, maybe a season and change of TCF or whatever.
Yep.
I believe that's coming down the road very, very soon. And you know, the way everything's shaking out, on or off the record, I believe that there's going to be some very good news coming up if you're in favor of a stadium relatively soon.
Cool.
Okay? Now, well, that's good for us, you know, and we're not the kind to look at St. Louis or San Diego or Jacksonville or Buffalo and previously New Orleans before it got hot and everything and say, ha-ha, we're out of the meat grinder, now you're in it. The whole scenario sucks. I hate the whole scenario. I feel bad for the fan bases. But nevertheless, the cold, steely reality of the whole thing is, speaking of St. Louis, St. Louis is a prime candidate to relocate to Los Angeles,
yeah. The
place whence it came. And you want to take the steam and add it a step farther, man. I mean, if there's going to be relocation, St. Louis to L.A., Jacksonville to St. Louis, because guess what? Jacksonville's new owner, I can't remember the guy's name.
Yeah. Khan.
Lives in St. Louis.
Huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
So now let's take a look at that now, and not rooting for that to happen, but I think we're going to be out of that meat grinder in a minute. But long story longer, if you're in that situation like St. Louis is, beloved Wabi, and you have Sam Bradford,
yes.
If I'm a general manager of another team, I'm looking at them saying, "Ain't no way you're taking RG3."
Right.
So loosen up on the compensation needed for us to get up to two. So now I think that puts, and that's why I've said it so many times, I think the Vikings are in an unbelievably good spot at third overall. Sadly, we had to go 3-13 to get there, but that's done. This is the first day of the 2012 season. This is the first day of the misery of the 3-13 being done. So there could be a trade with two, but I think that there could be a trade with three. Please
All right.
share.
So the Colts take Andrew Luck. The Rams stay at two. They take Matt Khalil. Now RG3 is available at number three. The Vikings are on the clock. You've been promoted, PA, to GM. Or you're Rick Spielman's right-hand man, whatever, however you want to look at it.
Uh-huh.
Cleveland calls you while you're on the clock and offers their number four overall pick
yep.
and a second-round pick for your number three pick and a fourth-round pick. What do you tell Rick to do?
I say no. I say I need some of that Julio Jones currency. I need your 22nd overall pick. If you want Robert Griffin III as badly as I think you do, then you're willing to part with both those first-round picks.
Okay.
Because we didn't give Christian Ponder $50 million. We gave him $10. St. Louis gave Sam Bradford $50 million. They ain't going to tie $70 million up into quarterbacks. We could tie $30 million up to quarter because we love Robert Griffin III, Mr. Holmgren.
Right.
So you better step it up and give us that 22nd overall.
Right.
Come on.
You can't be as certain that the Vikings won't take him as you can be about the Rams. That's what you're saying. But, okay, so here you go. So you wanted more currency.
Yeah.
The Bengals call you. Same scenario.
Well, they wouldn't.
Why?
Andy Dalton?
No. Listen, they want to trade up, though. They
okay.
want to trade up to number three for whatever reason. Who knows who it is? Maybe they want Blackman or Claiborne. I don't know who they want. But Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah.
Here's why.
Bet.
What did Cincinnati do last year at the trade deadline with Oakland?
They made the Carson Palmer
yes.
bit and completely ripped off the Oakland Raiders.
So Cincinnati calls you and says, we'll give you number 17 overall, the pick we got from Oakland, number 21 overall, our first-round pick, and we'll give you our second-round pick, number 53. So now you have 17 overall, 21 overall, 35 overall, 53 overall for that number three pick.
I'll pay the postage.
Okay, so you
yes.
would do that.
Yeah, send me all the picks. Send me whatever you need. I'll send you some lutefisks, some flowers, whatever you need, bro. I mean, I'll pay the postage, whatever you want to do, my friend, because then at 17, we'll find a tackle there. I mean, if we have to reach for Mike Adams, fine. If that's Jonathan Martin territory, fine, because we'll come back in the 20s, and then we'll end up with a tackle. Then in the 20s, we'll reach for Michael Floyd. And then we'll go with Michael Floyd and Percy Harvin after we've moved on Vincent Jackson or Marcus Colston or Pierre Garçon. Or if you want to start looking at cornerbacks, New Orleans is, we're going to talk more about this tomorrow, New Orleans is a major, major wild card in free agency.
Yeah.
You know, because as I've predicted for weeks, maybe up to months, I really think it's going to work out this way. They're going to work out a deal with Drew Brees. They're going to franchise Carl Nix because the guard franchise tag is very reasonable. And that means they still have to figure out what to do with Marcus Colston. I get that. Let's not forget, cornerback Tracy Porter is an unrestricted
yes.
free agent.
Yep.
And you and I know how Spielman and his staff, and philosophically speaking, they operate. They like guys off their rookie deals
yes.
who are good.
Yes.
Tracy Porter out of Indiana is coming off his rookie deal. and it very well could work that way with the Vikings flirting with Tracy Porter.
Yeah, and I mean, and don't underestimate New Orleans' ability in free agency, because they made the best free agent signing last year, getting Darren Sproles.
Right.
So New Orleans absolutely knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me to see them make an A-plus move like that at all.
Hey, we only have a few minutes here, man, but we found another local connection. His name is Tom Compton. He played at Rosemount High School and played collegiately at South Dakota State. Paul Allen, Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com. What's going on, Big Smiley?
Nice to meet you guys.
Good to meet you, dude.
I don't have your player card or anything here. I don't know what kind of 40 you run or shuttle or anything, and I'm not going to do a full body scan like the Vikings doctors probably will. So, Mr. Compton, tell us about yourself, what position you play, and what you're looking to accomplish here.
All right, well, I came out of Rosemount High School, went to South Dakota, started all 4 years there, played right tackle for 2 years, and left tackle for the last two.
South Dakota, not South Dakota State, I'm sorry.
Right.
If I do that with the Sioux and the Bison, I get 1,000 emails, I apologize for that.
Oh, yeah, same thing there. You don't want to mess that up.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens these next couple of days. Hopefully I can open some eyes out here and, you know, show some people that I belong at this level.
So you want to play for the Minnesota Vikings?
That'd be nice.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Going to Rosemount High School?
Oh, yeah.
We only won 3 games last year.
Yeah.
You still want to play for us?
Oh, yeah.
we can get you, and we can also get the only other native Minnesotan at the Combine. Who is?
Michael Floyd.
Let's get both of you.
Oh yeah.
We'll go to work.
What was football at South Dakota like, man? Share some memories.
We had quite a few. 2 years ago, we played the Minnesota Gophers, actually, and upset them. That was pretty fun.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Very proud moment for Tim Brewster.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Sorry about that.
Having all the family and friends out there for that, that was a real cool deal. But, yeah, it's been a great 4 years out there, not too far from home. But
yeah.
So you watched the Combine probably when you were growing up in high school. I mean, this thing's been televised for a long time, and the hype around it is amazing.
Right.
And now you're here.
Yeah.
Weird, right?
Yeah, it is a little weird. I never thought I'd be here, probably my junior year. And then after, talking to scouts this year, they said, you'll be at the Combine for sure. I'm like, huh? So now that I'm here, it's really exciting. And it's just a great opportunity for me to, showcase some skills.
What's the Wonderlic process like? Do you know yet? Do you take the Wonderlic test? How dumb are the questions? What's the bit?
I think I'll be taking that tomorrow.
Yeah.
I took it at my junior pro day. Got about a 31, I think. So
is that good?
I think so.
Okay.
I think the averages are in the 20s or so.
Yeah.
But, there can be some pretty simple questions. It gets pretty complex later on, but, some of the questions could be as easy as, what's the fifth month of the year, type of stuff. So we'll see how I do. Hopefully I can improve on
any
that.
Friends are out. We're closing here in a second. Tom Compton, Rosemount High School, South Dakota, closing Combine Day number one. Any friends or family members or anybody who might be listening right now or anybody you want to say hello to?
Yeah, say hello to my family. I'm sure my mom or dad are listening at home. They always got the radio on, got the K-Fan going. Whenever I'm home, I know that's on, so... Hello, Mom and Dad, if you're out there.
Quick impromptu Wonderlic. Sunsets where?
Sunsets in the west.
Third month of the year.
March.
Nice. The horse, the team with the horseshoes on the helmet.
The Colts.
The soon-to-be 2012 Super Bowl champions.
Minnesota Vikings.
All right.
We love that. What a perfect way to end. Thank you, Tom. Tom Compton. Everybody, best of luck, okay?
Thank you.
For Wabi, Ryan Donaldson, Joe Nelson, Tom West, and everybody else, I'm Paul Allen. Thank you, Max at Pawn. We're back tomorrow at 9:00.